top U.S. trade partners are on edge ahead of potential Trump tariffs.
Tariffs will make our country rich.
Will it be boom or bust for nations hit with the new Trump tariffs?
I think that it will. A lot of production will probably move to Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia.
Today is Thursday, December 19th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London.
Tariffs are properly used, are a very powerful tool, not only economically, but also for getting other things outside of economics.
As President-elect Donald Trump promises to follow through on a plan to impose tariffs on major U.S. trading partners, China's getting ready. We hear more from Reuters correspondent Francis McGuire.
Chinese leaders have agreed to raise the budget deficit to 4% of gross domestic product next year. The number would be the highest on record. That's according to Reuters sources, who also said Beijing will stick to an economic growth target of around 5%. The new deficit plan compares with an initial target of 3% of GDP for this year. It's also in line with a more proactive fiscal policy outlined by leading officials this month. The additional 1 percentage point of GDP in spending amounts to about $179.4 billion. The sources said more stimulus will be funded through issuing off-budget special bonds. These targets are usually not announced officially until an annual parliament meeting in March, and they could still change before the legislative session. Beijing did not immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment. The stronger fiscal approach planned for next year forms part of China's preparations to counter the impact of higher US tariffs. They're expected to rise upon the return of Donald Trump as US president in January. Reuters reported last month that government advisers had recommended Beijing not to lower its growth targets. The world's second largest economy has struggled this year due to a severe property crisis, high local government debt, and weak consumer demand. Exports have been one of the few bright spots, but that could soon face US tariffs over 60% if Trump delivers on his campaign pledges. Analysts believe China is likely to rely heavily on fiscal stimulus next year, but could also use other tools to deal with the impact of tariffs.
That was Reuters correspondent Francis McGuire.
You know, Lori, during his last term, President Trump issued new tariffs, particularly against China. And while it hurt China, it was a boom for other countries. For example, in Vietnam, a lot of the factories, a lot of the stuff that was made in China got moved right across the border into new factories, which were built in Vietnam, which was a giant economic boom for Vietnam and tens of thousands of new jobs.
All right, let's talk tariffs. Joining us now is Margaret Peters, professor of political science at the University of California, Los Angeles, and the author of Trading Barriers, Immigration, and the Remaking of Globalization.
Well, thank you very much for being able to talk with us about this.
Not a problem.
So the last time during the previous Trump administration that we, the United States, imposed these tariffs on China, it was a great boon for places like Vietnam because companies moved their factories across the border into northern Vietnam, and tens of thousands of people got hired, and the production of the goods just shifted there. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. So we saw a lot of goods moved to places like Vietnam, other goods moved to Mexico, more goods started to be made in places like Bangladesh or Pakistan. So yeah, mostly we saw just production move elsewhere, out of China, but not to the United States.
Right. And what I'm reading is that nearly a third of Vietnam's exports are now going to the U.S. and that, you know, this was a just enormous boom for them. Do you think they are now a potential target of potential tariffs shifting that way, or could there in general or throughout Southeast Asia be unexpected opportunities for others in the region?
You know, I think it's a little of both. I do think once President Trump figures out that production is moving to places like Vietnam, they could really be targets. of additional tariffs. But because they're not as prevalent in the U.S. as of now, you might be able to get away with it for a while. So I think that it will, a lot of production will probably move to Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and will be able to make money still in those countries, even with tariffs. Because you have to remember, China's net labor costs have risen over the last 20, 30 years. And so they weren't even competitive in certain goods like textiles and really low-end manufacturing for a long time. And so what we should see is that places like Vietnam and Indonesia that have very low labor costs might, even with tariffs, still be the most competitive producers.
So you said a lot of it, and we've seen evidence of this, move to Mexico, which is also under the threat of tariffs. So I assume that if they do put tariffs on Mexico, there's going to be a scramble to move production out of Mexico somewhere else, potentially in Central or Southern America.
Yes. So you might also see movement further south in Central America. We do have CAFTA DR, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, along with Dominican Republic. So we do already have a decent amount of production of goods, especially in places like Costa Rica and also in the Dominican Republic. So we should see potentially more production move there as well. Basically, the tariffs are kind of create this game of whack-a-mole in some ways, where companies are going to keep moving to where it's easiest and cheapest for them to make the goods. And this will affect different types of companies differently. Some things like textiles and clothes can move pretty easily. It's easy to move your sewing machines. But other things that take a lot of investment just won't move, and those goods will just become more expensive.
So is there any benefit to the U.S. that you can see, and or is this sort of a tactic?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but it's a question of what is our goal here? It's not clear to me entirely what President-elect Trump's goal is with these tariffs. He says he wants to bring back production to the United States, but there's certain goods like textiles and sewing clothes that are really pretty terrible jobs. And I don't know that you could really bring those back to the United States without suddenly making clothing cost 2 to 3 to 4 times what it costs now. And so what is the point of putting tariffs on this except to sort of just punish foreigners? I'm not really clear. And I don't even know that President Trump really has a clear idea of what is the goal with this beyond like some magical idea that it's going to create jobs here in the U.S., which it may, but it may not.
Well, their stated objectives are twofold. I think one is it raises money for the U.S. government and puts money in the U.S. Treasury, which he's claiming is paid by the foreign governments, but as you know, is actually going to be paid for by the consumers who buy the goods. Or they don't buy those goods, making the goods produced here in the United States more competitive. But as you point out, if you move it from China to Vietnam and from Mexico to Costa Rica, you're just moving it somewhere else that isn't here.
Correct. Yeah. So most of the tariffs will simply just be a tax that Americans will pay on these goods. We'll all just end up paying more for these products that most likely will still not be made in the United States. And even if they are made in the United States, if that is the goal, to move production back here, we as consumers pay more for the good, but it won't be any money moving into the Treasury because the goods are being made here in the United States. So you're not actually then getting the tariff revenue. Yeah, if you're really worried about the debt, which, you know, seems to me like all politicians say they're worried about the debt until they get into office, and then it always seems to disappear as a concern. You know, there are better ways to go after tax revenue. We could raise taxes on the ultra wealthy. We could raise taxes on corporations. We could do a lot of things that would be less what we call regressive or less likely to hit the average American than tariffs.
Well, to your point, President-elect Trump is promising tax cuts. And his argument for the tariffs is to boost the U.S. economy, rein in immigration and also the flow of illegal drugs. And that would be, and so I'm wondering, you were talking about sewing products and things like that. He's also talking about potential tariffs, that he's willing to raise tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico. How much would that impact the U.S.? What sorts of things do we rely on those countries for that could be beneficial or not beneficial too?
Well, the number one thing when I think about tariffs on Canada and Mexico and the U.S. is the way the U.S. automakers are really integrated in terms of production across those three locations. And so either they have suppliers in either of those countries, or they actually have their own factories in those countries as well. So the number one thing that's going to actually hurt is American car manufacturers, because suddenly they're going to have to pay more for the parts of their cars that are made in Mexico or in Canada. And the U.S. making cars in Canada is something that goes back a really long time. It's, you know, like 100 plus years at this point, or maybe not 100 plus, but around 100 years at this point. And so that's going to make it more difficult, more costly for us as American consumers to buy those cars. And so then we might switch and say, like, well, why not buy the Honda that's made in the U.S. or why not buy another foreign car? And it's also going to make it more expensive for them to export their cars to foreign markets. So that's, you know, the first place we'll probably see it in cars. But we also see a lot of other manufacturing, clothing, and all sorts of, especially coming from Canada, we have more like high tech kind of goods that get manufactured in Canada. And then, of course, for those of us who love guacamole, if there's a huge tariff on avocados, that's going to
make I do love guacamole.
All very sad come Super Bowl time, because around the Super Bowl, California avocado producers don't really have avocados at the time of year. And so they're all coming from Mexico. And so that's going to really, I think, make us all very sad.
Well, not to mention tomatoes and cucumbers and bell peppers. And I believe the Dodge Ram pickup truck is made in Mexico. Things like that. I mean, completely made in Mexico. But let's talk about some of the countries that benefited from these tariffs. We mentioned Vietnam in the very beginning. For many regions of Vietnam, I mean, the places where they built factories after the last China tariffs were imposed, it was life-changing for those provinces because tens of thousands of jobs were created there.
Yeah, and those are, you know, many ways, although, you know, we might not think that there are great jobs, you know, moving from being a subsistence farmer to working in a factory can really be life-changing for a family. It can mean that, you know, kids don't have to go to work any longer. Kids can stay in school longer. Oftentimes those jobs, especially in textiles and clothing manufacturing, go to women. And then we've seen it really empower women throughout the world. It means that, you know, kids can eat more, and it just allows these areas to really grow, and can be really life-changing for the people in those countries who were, you know, living under the global poverty line are now, you know, moving up into sort of the global middle class.
Could this all just be sort of a potential trade war that ends up benefiting the U.S. in some way in the long run?
I mean, it could. You could use trade strategically if you have, again, if you have very clear objectives of what you want to do and what sort of industries you want to create in the United States, and use, you know, tariffs, like I said, more strategically. So, for instance, if you wanted to bring more high-tech manufacturing, you would just put tariffs on the high-tech manufacturing you want to come here in the United States. You wouldn't put blanket tariffs on. That's a really blunt instrument. Or you could use subsidies or other sort of what we call industrial policy to try and have those businesses come here to the United States. So I think about this like the CHIPS Act that was passed under President Biden, which really just is focusing on a single strategic industry in terms of computer chips and creating incentives to build factories here in the United States and really using trade and industrial policy really strategically and using it to good effect. But just using blanket tariffs is, like I said, just like a really blunt instrument to solve. I'm not even sure what problem we're trying to solve with it.
Thank you so very much for the time and the insight and the lesson.
No problem.
That was UCLA professor of political science at the University of California, Los Angeles, Margaret Peters.
You know, complicated stuff. Two different points of view, worldviews about tariffs. Those who are in favor of using them, those who say there's better ways to do it. The argument between tariffs and incentives, for example, as she talked about there at the end.
Right. And we'll have to see if this is sort of a strategy that Trump is using to sort of gain more leverage, negotiations, or if it's actually going to come to fruition and how it will impact not only these other countries that we trade with, our trading partners, and also, you know, Americans.
I still think it's super interesting that we imposed these tariffs on China, which the Biden administration continued, and then Vietnam got the boom.
Right.
So what happens if we, like we talked about, we put tariffs on Mexico? Does Costa Rica get an economic boom?
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Maybe a good time to buy property there.
You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us at VOA here in Washington and around the world, thanks so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7 on our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We will talk to you tomorrow.